Well, next up we have our gospel reading, and we're going to do something special with the gospel reading. This is, again, is an ancient tradition of the church, which, you know me, I'm a traditional guy. I like to bring some of these traditions up from the ancient past. There's evidence that this was done as early as the second century in the church. There was a custom that no matter how many scripture readings you did, when it came time to read from the gospels, since the gospels contain the words of Jesus spoken here on earth, out of respect for the gospels, everyone would stand, and then they would take the scripture and carry it down into the midst of the congregation. And they would read the scripture from the midst of the congregation instead of up in front of them. And it was a symbol of bringing the words of Christ into your heart, bringing the words of Christ into your midst. So we do this at the seminary sometimes, and so I'm going to ask my two from Wilmore to help us to practice this ancient tradition of carrying the gospel down into the midst of the people. So won't you please stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel.
He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in all his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." When he had led them out to the city of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. This is the people of God. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I need a bigger pedestal for that. All right. Well, I promise I won't preach long, but I do want to say a few words on the passages that you've heard so far in our time of worship. Both the reading from Acts and the reading from Luke are both passages talking about the ascension of our Lord. We've talked many times about the fact that after Jesus rose from the dead, he continued his earthly ministry for 40 days, appearing to many, many people. And we have those accounts in multiple Gospels, but particularly we have it in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts. And it's interesting that the writer of both of these books, in case you didn't know, Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. That's why at the beginning of the reading of Acts that Barbara read for us, you hear, "In my last book, dear Theophilus, I da-da-da-da-da." And so Acts is essentially the sequel to the book of Luke. Yes, they wrote sequels even all the way back then. Because the story of what God was doing in the New Covenant, the story of what God was doing in the church, had only just begun. And Luke wanted to continue telling the story in the Gospel of Acts. But he starts the book of Acts in the same way that he ended his previous book, with the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the ascension is important to us for a number of reasons. One, it explains why Jesus isn't still walking around this earth today. If Jesus had stayed, I can confidently tell you that he would still be alive today. Jesus would not have been constrained by the normal limits of people's ages. But also, it's important because he was going to do two things for us. He was going to prepare a place so that we could join him one day in heaven. And he was also going so that he could send the Holy Spirit. We have in the Gospel of John and in other places where Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, whom he calls the Advocate, the Comforter, and several other names that is presented to the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit was to come and speak into our hearts, to dwell in our hearts, to transform us into an uncorrupted image of God. But in order for the Holy Spirit to come, Jesus had to go. The Holy Spirit could not come down to be with us until Jesus had ascended back to the Father. So Jesus ascended so that the Holy Spirit could come. And as nice as it would be to still be able to go talk to Jesus face to face, I mean, it'd be really cool if Jesus was still walking around. While Jesus was on this earth, he was limited by the physical body that he chose in the incarnation. Through the incarnation, Jesus became a real, living, breathing human being. And because of the incarnation, while Jesus was on this earth, he was limited to a specific location. He couldn't be everywhere at once. But the relationship that he wanted to have with us was not simply that of a ruler sitting on a throne somewhere in one single place of the world where we all had to go to him in order to speak with him. Instead, he wanted to send the Holy Spirit so that he could be with each one of us no matter where we were. So that he could speak to us and we to him at all times. God sent the Holy Spirit so that he could dwell not in a castle or a palace or whatever, not on an earthly throne, but so that he could dwell in each of our hearts and speak to us and minister to us. And that was only possible if Christ ascended into heaven. So that is why the ascension is so necessary. Yes, there were many more things that he could have done and taught his disciples here on this earth, but it was time to send the Holy Spirit so that testimony would not just reach as far as Jesus could travel, but that the testimony would reach to the ends of the earth through the work of the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, God promised to send the Holy Spirit, and we will look at that in a couple weeks. At Pentecost, but he promised another thing as well, and we read it in both of these passages that were read here this morning. That just as Christ ascended into heaven, he has promised one day to return so that we might go to live with him. And we're told that he will return in the same way that he went. Whenever I picture the ascension, I picture kind of this beam of light coming down out of the clouds and Jesus riding that beam of light on up into heaven. Now, it doesn't say that. That's just my wild imagination at work. But anytime I see on a cloudy day a break in the clouds and a beam of light coming down, I'm listening for the trumpet call. Because God has promised, Christ has promised that he will not leave us stranded here, but that one day he will return so that we might go to be with him. That is the promise, the second promise of the ascension. So today, that is what we celebrate. We celebrate that he ascended into heaven so that he might send the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and we celebrate the promise that he will come back. Our job is to be ready for that. How do we be ready for that? by letting him dwell in our hearts and sharing the good news of what he has done with everyone we possibly can. Because as much as I would love for it to be true, we can't all do what one Christian comedian suggested. And when we hear the trumpet blast, grab a sinner in each hand, and as we're riding to meet the Lord in the air, say, "Do you accept or do I let go?" Doesn't quite work that way. Our job is to be ready and make sure others are ready before we hear that trumpet blast. But Christ is risen.
He is risen.
He has ascended, and he will come again.